And if you would take your Bible, please, let's look at tonight's study. It'll be in Luke chapter 11, which is the companion passage to Matthew 7. It's almost identical. Luke 11. And we'll look at verse 9, Luke 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And we'll look at the rest of the verses as we work our way through here. But let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures and this discussion about prayer, Lord, that no matter how many years we have known you and walked with you, that we still might learn something and be encouraged to pray and to be close to you and to use the promises of the Word of God to our best advantage as we serve you here in this world. We pray you'll teach us and lead us then, Father, and open the Scriptures to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, prayer in simple terms. He begins with ask. And I always enjoyed Dr. John R. Rice always used to say, prayer is asking. You know how people like to talk about prayer is worship and prayer is this and that and the other thing. But Dr. Rice liked to stay with the simple thing. Prayer is asking. That's what it is. It's asking something from your Heavenly Father. And we're told here, simply, ask, and it shall be given you. In other words, if you ask, it'll be given to you. I looked at this passage, and I thought this through. I wanted to preach on it, but I wasn't sure, exactly what am I going to preach about here and speak on in light of these verses. And the Lord helped me and gave me some ideas. Ask. Ask because there are many things that we need in life. He encourages us to ask. Again, the scripture says you have not because you ask not. And sometimes I'm aware of the fact that I either forget to ask about certain things, or maybe it's independence. I think an independence from the Lord is really a very, very bad thing. We need to be dependent on. We need to lean on the everlasting arms. And a spirit of independence is it's wrong. But whatever may be the reason, in all of our lives, you could have more than you have. You could have more. You have not because you ask not. And none of us is probably prolific in asking every single thing that comes to your mind or that you need require in life. But there are many things that we need. And foolishly, we don't always ask, but we are encouraged to ask. And of course, if you have not because you ask not, then we could do without. And so, second, I would say that everything that we need comes from God. We might say, I can go to the fridge and there's food in there, and so I don't have to ask God for it. It's already there. But it's the Lord supplying. The Lord's supplying everything in our life. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, every good thing in our life is coming from the Father. And we should ask because we can only get the supply of what we need from God, so we should ask Him. We should ask because God is glorified by being needed. God is glorified by being needed. For both the husband and wife, both men and women, every one of us need to feel that we are needed. I like that in our marriage, there are times that I feel that Marlene needs me. She needs certain strengths that I have. We're very different people, obviously. We're opposites. And so she needs some strengths that I have, but I also need her, and I need the strengths that she has and the things that she does for me. It is important, I think, for both of us to feel that we're needed, that neither one of us is complete without the other. We need each other, and we complement each other in our day-to-day life as well as in serving the Lord. Without a doubt, God, I can't say he needs to be needed. I'm very careful what I say about God here. God desires to be needed. He made us to fellowship with him, be friends with him, be close to him. He is glorified by us needing him. Needing him to answer our prayers, needing him to help us with you know, whatever's going on in our lives. He is glorified by that. And so we don't want to be independent. We want to be dependent on God. We are foolish if we are trying to rely on our own selves in life when the Lord is there to answer everything. He just says, ask. And we are weak, we are puny, we are unable to supply for us. And we don't want to ignore the only source of help, which is the person of God the Father, because that's where our attention is to be directed to. And glorify God by asking him, rather than trying to figure out something on your own or trying to take care of yourself. Ask the Lord and ask him for his help. We should ask because we are told to. It's really just a simple command that we are told to ask things from the Lord and to rely on him. Ask because God will not give us many things unless we ask. And that's the whole idea of you have not because you ask not. There's general grace in life. General grace is extended to all, to lost and saved, and to all the world. The general grace of God. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He just does good things for everybody, no matter who they are. God is good to all. But there are so many things that God wants to give you. He wants to give me. But they are conditional on us asking. And if you don't ask, you just don't get them. And that's, I'll go back again to years ago when I was reading Dr. Rice's book on prayer. I remember he said, when I get to heaven, he said, I'm gonna get to heaven and there'll be a storehouse there. This is what he imagines. There'll be a storehouse in heaven. And on the shelves, he said, will be all of the things I did without in life just because I didn't ask. They're all there in heaven waiting to be sent to me, but I didn't ask. And that's a very picturesque way of putting it. And understand that it is a law with God. It is the law of giving and receiving. He will give you all that you need, but it's conditional on you asking. If you didn't ask, then you don't get. And so as simple as that might be, that is the way the Lord works. And we don't want to miss out on many blessings just because we didn't ask. Ask here is the idea of a beggar asking for help. Somebody with nothing to offer is asking for help. That's really how we come to God. When we think of our sinful selves, what do we really have to offer God? All that is good in us has been the operation of his hand. His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to good works. It's him working in us. And so When we come to pray, we come essentially as a poor person with nothing, and we're asking for help. So then ask has to do with mercy. It has to do with mercy, not merit. Merit is, and somehow you're getting something you deserve, but ask, the simple statement that we should ask and it be given to us, implies that we need the mercy of God, that we're not getting what we deserve, we're getting something out of mercy, and something that perhaps we might say we don't deserve. And is it not true that there will be times in life when we might be unwilling to ask because we feel that we don't deserve what we're asking, and we let things limit our own mind as to what we're asking, and so we want to be careful that we don't let that influence us. Ask of God. Ask of the greatest giver. None gives like God gives. I refer to Romans 8 and verse 32. In Romans 8. Sorry, I don't have it written out here. Romans 8 and verse 32, and it says this: He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The great giver, God gave his best for us. He gave the Lord Jesus to die for our sins. Delivered him up. No one could have arrested the Lord Jesus. No one could have taken him to trial and into the cross. The Father delivered up his son. It's quite an amazing statement that God the Father is seen as in the Garden of Gethsemane, making the final choice, if you will, to send the Savior to the cross and for him to die for us, and delivered him up and allowed his son to go through all of that and to suffer and die for us with suffering that we cannot comprehend, and a death that we know, I believe, so little of its suffering and yet its power, as he died and rose again. But he that spared not his own son didn't spare the Savior, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's a couple of things. With him, so with him means that first you have to have him as your Savior. So much of what we talk about prayer has to do with the life of a child of God. I prayed when I was to God when I wasn't saved, and I was desperate for help. And I'll say this, God helped me. But that is the exception to the rule. I think we as children of the Lord understand that answers to prayer are based on the work of Christ for us. And if you haven't partaken of that work of Christ and salvation, then you don't have the same access to heaven. We have access through Christ. So he that delivered him up, didn't spare his son, delivered him up, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? With him. First, if you have him, Christ as your Savior, then with him comes everything, anything else you want, because God already gave you the best. And he delivered him up for you. And so with him, he will freely give you all things. And we see God's, in that verse, we see God's interest in you, his interest in helping you, his interest in whatever needs you have, supplying them. But if we just ask, of course. And so we should use this promise. If you feel that you're having difficulty getting an answer to prayer, remind the Lord that he gave his son, he delivered up his son, and that with him also he said he would freely give you all things. I know it might sound like, oh, you're using God's word against himself, but he likes to hear his word. God likes to hear his promises and to be reminded of the promises that he made. And many of the great arguments in the Old Testament, Moses arguing, you know, for the deliverance of the people of Israel after the golden calf, and God was so very angry. What did he do? He reminded God. He reminded him of his plan with the chosen people, how he brought them out of Egypt, and he reminded him what he'd done. God likes to be reminded of his promises. He likes us to stand on his word because his word is above everything. So use the promise. Ask exactly what you want and need. Do not beat around the bush with God. Now, I know other people have beat around the bush and it seemed to work out all right. For example, the Lord came and appeared to Abraham with angels, and they were going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the cry of the city, to see if the shape of the city was according to the cry thereof. And so we see Abraham, and he's kind of bargaining with God and saying, you know, would you spare the city for 50? And then, you know, he goes all the way down, I think, to 10. I think he goes down to 10, if I remember rightly. And he keeps asking the Lord, you know, if there's only 45, would you, or and 40, and then 30, and he just keeps going down. Would you spare the city? And he never does get down. Would you spare the city for just Lot and his wife, or the children that he had home, which he leaves it off. There aren't 10 people righteous in the city. God destroys the city. But he also delivered Lot. And he didn't. There's no indication that he told Abraham he was going to deliver Lot. I find this one of those interesting things. Abraham got up the next morning, looked towards Sodom. There was a pillar of smoke rolling up. It was destroyed. And the smoke was filling the sky still. And suppose he knew that God had already delivered Lot. I don't know. I'm sure he found out at some point. But it seemed to me like Abraham beat around the bush. Why did he just come out and say, Lord, would you deliver Lot? You know, he's my, you know, he's related to me. He's my kin. And so, you know, I'm concerned for him. And you know, they had lived together for so many years. They were close. And though he never came, you know, he didn't actually come out, God did deliver the Lot. He did. He didn't deliver the city, but he delivered Lot out of the city. But we looked last Sunday, I don't remember if it was the morning or the evening, we were looking at the text that says that the Lord already knows what you have need of. He already knows. Now that's why I say don't beat around the bush. Come right out and tell God what you want, because he already knows what you have need of. And he's waiting to supply those needs. And so tell him exactly what you want. Be specific. And so the Lord will answer. And I thank the Lord for answers to prayer. Last night, I was praying. I prayed for the Sunday before last when I was going to preach. I don't have the pastor's great ability to stay on key and to sing on key. I can wander off key. And my voice is kind of ruined from all the years of leading singing and really singing loudly. And so it's not very good. So I have trouble a little bit leading singing. So I'm much better if someone would play the piano. So I was praying for someone to play the piano, but I didn't ask Phil. And so I told him I was preaching. And so he said, oh, well, we're going to come and we'll sing too. I'm like, oh, excellent. And then he wasn't going to come this Sunday morning, so I didn't know who was going to come this Sunday morning. But I prayed the Lord would send someone. And I found out on Saturday that was talking to Adam. He happened to come over and see his brother. Faith and Josh are with us. And so he said, well, Sherry, we could come and Sherry could play for you. I'm like, well, that's marvelous. That's exactly what I had no idea who was going to come. Just praying for someone to come. And then Sherry, this morning, before she left, she says, a couple of weeks ago, I said to Adam, I haven't been playing in church lately, and I feel like I'm getting rusty on the piano, and I need to practice. I need to practice because I might be called on, she said, to play. And she said, so while you were praying, I was practicing, and the Lord had me practicing, she said, so that I would be ready to play when you needed me to come and play. So I thought that was marvelous, and I was praying specifically for someone to come, especially in the morning. Would have been nice for someone to come in the evening, but I was praying specifically for the morning, and so I got specifically what I asked. Maybe I should have asked for more, right? Again, I should ask for more. We need to be specific with the Lord as we ask. So we're in Luke 11:9. Ask and it shall be given you. Ask without concern about how hard it is for God to do something. This is one of the things I think that stands in our way of having a proper faith, even, because we envision that a situation is a very difficult situation. You know, to us, it's very difficult. But remember, the statement of the Lord, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing will be impossible. I think God enjoys a good challenge, to be honest with you. I think he enjoys, what shall I say? I was going to say flexing his muscle, but you know what I mean. The Lord enjoys using his power. He is the Almighty God. He likes to show how powerful he is. So don't water down our prayers because we're afraid that, you know, try and make something a little bit easier to God. I think that's insulting to him. That we just don't ask him to do great things because we think, oh, you know, he's not going to do that. And we need to exercise our faith a little more and not insult his person or his power, but ask great things of God. And there are a number of texts in the Old Testament we could go to back that up. That's what we should do. So ask and it shall be given you. There is a statement. It's a statement of fact, and it is true. Ask, and it shall be given you. But there is nothing said about when it is given. Just ask, and it'll be given. It doesn't mean it's given to you that moment. It might be. One thing I've learned in life is you can ask, but many times it will not be given when you think it should be given. It will be given at the right time and God's time, not necessarily my time. And again, talk about being patient with the Lord this morning in Sunday school. And we do have to wait for him. Wait on the Lord. Not only is it not done when necessarily, it is not stated when it will be done, just that it will be given. It's not stated how it's going to be done. When we pray, we should specify what we want, but not necessarily specify how we want it. And I say that because God uses the strangest of people to answer prayers and the strangest of ways sometimes to answer prayers. We want to be careful that we are many times surprised. It's like we prayed for that, but we're surprised it comes. It's like they were having a prayer meeting so that Peter could get out of jail. And he comes knocking at the gate, and Rhoda doesn't open it to him because, they're there praying for him to be delivered. He's outside knocking at the gate, and they're having an argument about whether he's out there or not, rather than going and bring him in. That's what the prayer meeting was for. Peter shows up at the prayer meeting. He is the answer to their prayers. And an angel delivered him. They weren't expecting that. And so they were actually reluctant to receive him. We don't want to be reluctant to receive answers to prayer just because they come through people that sometimes it's someone you'd say, well, I never knew that person cared about me or even knew I was alive. Or it might be sometimes even through someone you say, well, you know, they, Those are the people that had a problem with me, you know, and how could God be answering a prayer through people who seem to have a problem with me or didn't like me for any reason? When you ask, it is given freely. And we looked at that in Romans. At no charge to us, no strings are attached except this. It is quite clear throughout the scriptures that God expects a continued loyalty in our lives and some thanks. For example, the Lord was very upset with Solomon because he didn't listen. And he married all these strange women. And sure enough, exactly what God said would happen, happened. He began to promote for his wife's sake, he began to even build places of worship for these heathen gods right outside the city of Jerusalem, the center, you know, where he had earlier in his life built the temple and where God had blessed him so. And one of the reasons that God gives for his anger towards Solomon was that he appeared twice to Solomon. He appeared twice. And because he appeared twice to Solomon, early on, which we talked about last week, where the Lord just asked him, you know, to ask for whatever he wanted, and we looked at that, and another time later, but God felt that there should have been loyalty from Solomon because of those two things that twice he was appeared to, and most people never are, you know, will never have an appearance of the Lord on this earth, and twice he appeared to him, and he thought there, and God thought, and I believe rightly so, that there should have been a greater loyalty coming from Solomon, and he was very disappointed and angry with Solomon in his later years because he began to, his heart wasn't perfect with God like his father David was, the Bible says. And I don't know if that means he actually started to go to these worship of these idols or what he was doing, but his heart was wandered away from God. And of course, the Lord is looking for a loyalty in our lives. He does things for us. And you know, there's an understanding that he's done so much for us, then there's got to be a loyalty to him because of all that he has done for us. And some gratitude, of course, and some thanks, as anyone would expect. You expect that when you do things for other people. You expect at least some thanks, and of course, the Lord expects that. No one takes advantage of God. So gratitude is expected, and it is evil to be unthankful. We want to appreciate him and all that he does for us. And so that is that's the first thing, and then that's most of it. But ask, and it shall be given you. And secondly, he says, seek, and ye shall find. Seek. Ask with simplicity. Seek with some diligence. Now, seek requires some effort and attention. Put forth some effort to find what you are looking for. Find what you are looking for, but this is not just, you know, you're not just looking for something. You're looking to God for something. This is still talking about prayer. Seek in prayer, but put forth some extra effort to find what you're looking for. Now, I could say, you know, in life, if you don't find what you're looking for, you have to put a little more effort into whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for something at home or something that you misplaced or where something is. If you don't see it at first, then maybe you need to look closer. You maybe need to use practical things like if you can't find something you think it's on the floor, you might take the broom and sweep and then look in the pile of dirt. It might be there. Or you might take a magnifying glass if you're having trouble seeing something. A magnifying glass. I'm there. I've got the old bifocals. I know I don't have the line, but it's old bifocals. Anyway, so and every now and then I have trouble seeing something small. And so at home, I have a magnifying glass, just take that out, and it's really helpful when you want to see something small. Oh, I get annoyed in my older years. You know, you pick up a bottle of Tylenol, for example, and I want to read what it says. Who in the world could read print that small? I couldn't read that when I was young. And now I can't read it. There's no way. And I'm the magnifying glass. I'm reading two or three words at a time, following around the bottle, trying to see what it says. It's ridiculous. Make the bottle bigger or something. I can't read that. So, you know, when you're seeking, you use something practical. So when you're seeking things from God, you can use some practical things when you're seeking things from God as well. Seeking some help, or you're seeing something particular from God. So what can you use that is practical? Well, as I believe Jan made mention of earlier, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the presence of them. But that verse actually is a verse about praying. And when two people pray together, there's more power when two people pray together, as long as there's agreement between them. I heard a preacher say one time, and again, Dr. John R. Rice. John R. Rice was the founder of the Sword of the Lord magazine, newspaper. And I read it for a number of years until Curtis Hudson took it over, and it kind of changed. But it was really good when Dr. Rice had it. And a lot of good sermons, a lot of good articles in there. And so a preacher one time sat down to pray with Dr. Rice. And Dr. Rice prayed first. And they were going to pray about the preacher's ministry. That was the idea. They would pray about the preacher's ministry and God's help for something that he needed in his ministry. And he had a college, and it was a large Christian ministry that the pastor was over. So Dr. Rice is going to help him. So Dr. Rice gets down and to pray, and they kneel down together. He starts praying about the sword of the Lord. He prays all kinds of things for God to bless the sword of the Lord, and he finishes, and not one word even to pray for the pastor's ministry. So the pastor's next turn to pray, he said, Lord, don't bless the sword of the Lord. Don't help supply money for the sword of the Lord. And don't meet the needs of the sword of the Lord. Why? Because they didn't have agreement. They both had their own burden, and they both had their own thing. And so the power that two of them could have had united in prayer that the Bible speaks of, they missed out on. So if you can get somebody with the same mind and the same burden as you to pray about something together, that has a great power with God. No question about it. Use practical things. And one of the practical things there is pray with someone else. And I don't mean just like you pray in prayer meeting. When you pray in prayer meeting, you can't just pour your heart out to people that you don't know or aren't really close to. But if you got someone you're close to and you're sharing the same burden, you can pour your heart out with them. And so that's the way we want to pray. And that's seeking God. There's a difference. If you're going to seek God, it's a little different than asking. There's more effort and attention in prayer. So, secondly, I would say, in order to seek God, you must look very carefully in your life to see if there is some sin or something in your life that is blocking the answer to prayer. Use practical things. Look carefully. Ask the Spirit of God. Keep asking Him if you think that you're blocked somehow, or just don't. Your prayer doesn't have the power that it should have. Ask the Lord for if there's something wrong. Well, is there something wrong with me? I mean, there's nothing wrong with Him. So if I don't feel like I can pray properly, and sometimes the problem is that I'm sure you've experienced this. You have a need. You go to pray about that need, but as you're praying, your mind is continually being distracted. It's like you want to get down to business, but your mind won't get down to business. It's other thoughts and things that keep coming in. And I like what one person said once. They said, you should pray until you can pray. And you know what I mean by that. Because you start off sometimes praying, and you're praying, and you're doing your best, but you just can't get your whole soul in it until you've been at it for a while. Then you can get your whole soul into that prayer. And that's when you're seeking God. And that's when something is going to happen. Use practical things on our end of the responsibility. We're praying, but we might have a responsibility. For example, if I'm praying for someone to get saved and I refuse to witness to them, that's not, you know, I'm not doing my job. So if I pray maybe for an opportunity to talk to that person about the Lord, for the Lord to make an opportunity, and he'll do that. You want to pray for someone to be saved, look into their lives. What are their needs? What are they like? Those are the sort of things that you can use in prayer as you're talking to God about someone. Are they struggling with something? Learn things about them so that you can pray about them in a specific way, and find out what's important in their life. And those are all things that God can use. And bring all that you know to God in prayer about someone if you're praying for them, especially if you're praying for them to be saved. And pray about the details. And ask God to open their blind eyes, because there's a spiritual blindness that is associated with being unsaved. And to open their eyes. And I pray that the Lord will help people feel their guilt, feel the guilt of their sins, that sin might become exceeding sinful. I think that's important in some people's lives, that they feel how evil their life is before God. Get over this, I'm a good person thing that every Canadian seems to suffer with. Feel the burden of their sins. So seek God and seek the lost. And, maybe that means I need to have them over in my home, or take them out for coffee and spend time with them, or whatever it means, whatever I can do on my end. To go with praying and do my responsibility, help them with a problem or a project or whatever it might be. Whatever you are looking for in prayer, keep looking. I will advise you that in the Greek it really means to ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock. And it shall be open unto you. Don't give up. keep doing those things. So the last thing then is to knock. Luke 11, 9, knock and it shall be open unto you. Knock means exactly what you think, to knock at a door. That's what it means. Knock at a door. do you feel that you are locked out of something that you're looking to the Lord from? And sometimes even for years in my life, I've felt like I've been locked out of something I wanted to see God do. But if you feel like you're locked out, that's where this idea of knocking. Knock. Anybody can knock, but go right up to heaven's door, as it were, and knock. That's the idea. Knock so as to be heard. But do not knock so as to be disrespectful. Knocking is kind of like blowing the horn. If you just tap the horn at someone, it's like saying hi. If you lay on the horn, it's like yelling at them. saying, get out of my way, you're no good, or whatever. It's offensive. So knock. Don't knock so as to break down the door of heaven. Don't be disrespectful. Always have reverence for God in prayer. Be bold, but don't go beyond being bold and be disrespectful for the Lord. It's like if you're knocking at a friend's house. You knock at a friend's house, right? If you're going out just knocking on doors, talking to people about the Lord, you go with a certain, to someone's door, you've never been there before, you don't know who's going to come to the door. If you're like me, you knock with a little bit of, I knocked a little gently, not sure what's going to happen here, and always nervous. But if you're going to a friend's house, a if you're going to the Lord's house in prayer and knocking at the door, you knock with a, you know, you're the friend. You know you're going to be heard. You know if you knock in a friend's house, they're going to come and recognize you, and they're not going to yell at you for being at their door knocking. So show respect and reverence to God, but go as a friend to the door and knock. Don't pray like, you know, a vagrant, people who are begging for money or knocking on your door for whatever. They're going door to door trying to raise money for things. We belong in heaven. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Go to God and knock from the heart with some determination. And there's a progression here. Asking is just simple ask. It's like when you're a child, it's like, Dad, can I have this? And it's like, Father in heaven, could I have this? But when you go to seeking, there's more involved in that. It's more intensive. And then the knocking is like beyond that even, where you're going boldly right to heaven's door because you must have an answer. And go and ask God from the heart. Prayer is not just words. It's the heart's desire in those words. To that end, I just want to go to Luke 18 for a moment here. And so if you're following me in the Bible, you might want to go there. Luke 18 and verse 1. And I would just look quickly at this parable. I've only got a couple of minutes, and I'm not going to go beyond my time because... because nobody likes that. So, and he spake, Luke 18, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay, this is whatever you learn out of this parable, this is what you're supposed to learn. He told us what to learn at the first. Don't ever give up praying. Don't give up. And keep on praying. And don't get weary and tired and give up. And here's what he says. Saying there was in a city a judge. Now, he's an ungodly judge. He feared not God, neither regarded men. He didn't care about people either. What he was doing there as a judge, I don't know. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. So she had someone who was trying to take advantage of her. She goes to the judge to get help, deliverance from this person who, right or wrong, is trying to take advantage of her, and probably financially. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night on him, though he bear along with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, don't faint, don't give up. It's difficulty getting an answer in prayer sometimes. It is difficult. And sometimes all you can do is to keep praying. Like the woman, what could she do? The man was an ungodly man, and he didn't even care about people. He had no pity on her because he didn't care. So you got a guy who doesn't care, and he has no respect for God too. But what does she do? What can she do? She just keeps coming. And so he has no reason to help her in his mind. But he's more concerned for his own peace of mind than her troubles. And unless she keeps coming and weary him, then he decides he's going to do something to help her. Now, that sounds, if this is a lesson about praying and not giving up, this sounds like, oh my goodness. you just have to keep coming back to God, and he feels like he has no reason to help. But just wait. he was far more concerned about himself. Of course, the Lord is not like that. He's not like that. But he's going to use this to teach us. So he said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now he gets to the application, because the application is a little bit different than the story. And shall not God avenge his own elect? You belong to him. Won't God take care of the people who belong to him? Yes. Which cry day and night. Do you see the kind of prayer that knocking is? Crying day and night. What is that actually? Well, nobody cries daily. I mean, you could take all night prayer. You can do that. Done that when I was younger. Find it really hard because if you have to go to work next day, even if you don't, after you've been up all night, it is a beating the next day. But I think it's referring more to, you know, every time you get a spare moment to think a thought of your own. Like when I'm at work, I got to keep my thoughts on the problem at hand, try to fix something. But then, you know, as I'm fixing it, I've got an answer. I know what to do to fix it now. I'm fixing it. I have opportunity in my mind to go elsewhere now while I'm doing this. I can think of something else. If I feel I need to knock on heaven's door, I find that all through the day, at any time I have a spare moment to think, I'm bringing that same request over and over and over in different ways. I'm knocking at the door again and again. I wake up during the night. Now that I'm older, I wake up quite a bit during the night. And sometimes don't go back to sleep right away after I have to get up. I find I have more time to pray at night. Tired in the morning because of it, but I wasn't going to be sleeping anyway, so use the time for praying. And day and night, anytime you have a free moment, bring the same request over and over again. That's really what he's talking about here. And you cry day and night when you're knocking at the door. In verse 7, he says, though he bear long with them, he's going to bear long with them. And then the very next verse, he says, I tell you, you'll avenge them speedily. Well, which is it? Is he bearing long with us? Or is he avenging us speedily? Well, it depends on whose perspective you look at it from. From your perspective, he's bearing long with you. From his perspective, he's avenging you speedily. That's as fast as it could be done. And there are many reasons why God can't help us as fast as we want it done. A lot of times to answer your prayer, he's got to work in someone else's heart. People are stubborn, and it takes a long time for people to come around sometimes to be where God wants them to be. And so he's still doing it speedily, but he doesn't go against anybody else's heart. He works with people's hearts and what they're willing to do. And then he says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, that's good to know. And then he says this statement, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find this kind of faith? Will he find that people can still pray like this? When Jesus comes, will people still be praying like this? Will people still be believing in answers to prayer like that? And it's an open question, and I believe the answer to that is probably no. That there will not be that kind of dedicated Christianity left in this world by the time that Jesus comes again. Not very much of it. That's what I think the answer is. The answer is not given there, so you could put your own answer there, whatever you think. So back to Luke 11, and we're finished. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And there are other verses there that we'll look at another time, but the Lord answers prayer. And when there's trouble, the trouble's on our end, and often it's just that we didn't ask, and so we don't have anyone to blame but ourselves sometimes. Thank you, Father, for this evening to look into the Scriptures. Thank you for each one who came tonight. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to continue in prayer and to not give up and to be encouraged to do so. Thank you for the Scriptures and your teaching. May it live in our hearts. May you encourage and strengthen us in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.